That's enough. Dads also get made fun of for their fashion. I thought about wearing more of a dad. I'm pretty casual today, but I thought of wearing more of like a dad uniform, like a Hawaiian shirt tucked into some jean shorts with some black socks and sandals. Dads they can wear black socks with any kind of shoe. Vance Morrison told me after the first service, he said, "I have two kinds of socks. I got black, I got white. That's it. I don't need a bunch of complication in my life." And of course, the ultimate dad fashion is the world's greatest dad shirt or the world's greatest dad baseball cap. Anybody here got one of those? Ray, do you have a world's greatest dad cap or anything? No. Well, by the end of the day, you may have one. Some of you may have one before the day's over. But the reality is as good as you dads may be, and I'm sure you all are great dads, the reality is that the greatest dad, the greatest father, is the one in heaven, our heavenly Father. And what I want to just really press down on this morning is the concept that even though we talk about God as Father so often, Scott referred to him as Father in his prayer a second ago. We talk about God as Father, Heavenly Father. I just want to press down on how big a deal that is, that God is Father. Not only Father, he's the most perfect and the best Father that you could ever possibly conceive of or hope for. I realize that for a lot of us, Father's Day or other events like this, for some of us, it's a day of great joy and celebration. We had or have a wonderful, godly father who loved us the way God intended for a dad to love his children. And then there are others for whom that has never been true. For some of us, we've hoped for a dad like that and we never got one. Or maybe our dad isn't with us anymore, and so this day can be sad and difficult and frustrating for a lot of people. But what I want us to be convicted of, what I want us to know absolutely, is that no matter what your status is in terms of your relationship with your physical dad, we can have a father who is absolutely perfect and who is everything that we had ever hoped for in a dad. I want you to hear this passage from Galatians 4. What I am saying, this is Galatians 4, 1 through 7. What I am saying is that as long as an heir is underage, he is no different from a slave, although he owns the whole estate. The heir is subject to guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. So also when we were underage, we were in slavery under the elemental spiritual forces of the world. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might, what? That we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons, his children, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, "Abba, Father." So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are a child, God has made you also an heir. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? To be the heir of the God of the universe? To be his heir? That's amazing. And he says, we are now able to call God Abba. That word Abba, it's an Aramaic word, and if you were to go to Israel or other places in the Middle East today, you could hear children referring to their dad as Abba. It's a personal, very intimate term. It's no different than when we call our dad or daddy or papa or something like that. It's a deeply personal, intimate term, Abba, Father. And that's who God says he is to us, or at least who he wants to be to us. He wants to be our Abba, Father, our dad. There are a lot of titles for God in Scripture. He's known as Creator, he's known as Lord, Master, Judge. He's known as the High and Holy One. Scripture even talks about God as a nursing mother or as a jilted husband. There are all kinds of ways that God refers to himself, all sorts of metaphors, all sorts of titles, because God is incredibly multifaceted, and we can't know him just from one particular metaphor or title. But I want to submit to you that God as Father is the most important of all. And I'm going to tell you in a minute why I think that's true, why I think the Scripture says that that's true. Think back with me from the very beginning. In the beginning, as God creates everything, the culmination of creation is when he creates the first man and then the first woman, the first human pair. And Scripture says that they bore God's image. They were made in his image, very much like a child bears the image of their parents. The first human pair bore the image of God. And in some sense, all people bear the image of God. We're God's image bearers. And what God said is, I want you to go out into the world. I've made you to be like me, to look like me, not in so much a physical sense, but in terms of the way you think and act and feel and respond. I've given you my wisdom. I've given you my mind. I've given you my heart. Now I want you to go out into the world and represent me. And I want you to do things as if you were me. I want you to rule over the creation. I want you to subdue it. I want you to care for it. And so God says, come along, let me be your father. Let me show you how I want you to live, how I want you to be, how I want you to do. You remember before he created the first man, he plunges his hands into the dirt, and from that dust, he creates Adam. And then he tells Adam, now you come and plunge your hands into the dirt, and you create life. You tend and cultivate and care for this garden that I've given you. God creates people, and then he tells them to multiply. So God creates, and then he says, now you procreate. In other words, God says, you're my children, you represent me, you bear my image. Now you go out into the world, and you do as I would do, as my kids. But of course, we know the rest of the story, that sin mars that image. It fractures that relationship. The ability then to follow and reflect God is diminished, and the father and children are separated. And so today, let me ask you kind of a theological question. If I were to say, is God father of everybody? What's the right answer to that? Well, I think the right answer is yes and no. Because there's a couple of main primary ways that you can understand God as Father. In the sense that God is progenitor, the giver of all life, the one that is the source of life, the creator, the one that we all come from. In that sense, yes, God is Father of all. In Acts 17, Paul talks about, as he's on Mars Hill, he says, are we not all God's children? And in that sense, that is true. We all come from God. He's the source of all life. But the more important sense in which God is Father is relationally. And Scripture makes it really clear that while God desires to be in relationship with every person, while God desires to be Father to everybody, he has already chosen that and desires deeply for us to be adopted in his family. Each person has to choose to willingly enter into that relationship. So in that sense, God is not father of all. He's only father to those who have chosen to enter into relationship and allow him to be father. Because relationally is really the key, is it not? In other words, if you ever seen one of those movies where, you know, a father and son are reunited and they've been apart for years and the son says, "You were never a dad to me." You know, and of course, biologically, yes, he was his father. But what does he mean by that? He means, well, you were never there. You never did the things that dads are supposed to do. You weren't involved in my life. You checked out. You left. You were never a part of my life. You were never my dad. Yeah, you biologically gave me life, but you were never my father. And that's the two ways in which we understand God as Father. So in the biological sense, yeah, God is Father for everybody. But in the relational sense, he's only Father to those who choose it, who willingly enter into that relationship. I want to illustrate this with Devin. He's going to come up and join me for a second on stage. A lot of you know Devin, who's a big part of our Wolf Life ministry. He was on staff at Wolf Life with us. He served as a youth ministry intern a couple of summers ago. And, of course, you know, most of you know that he and Diamond are going to be a part of the plant team that's going to Seattle this summer to begin a new campus ministry at the University of Washington. So, Devin, tell us about, I know when you were born, the situation that you were born into was pretty difficult. So tell us about that situation, especially regarding your father situation.
Yeah, so I was born in Little Rock in 1994, so I'm pretty young. And my mom was still in high school. She was 17 years old when she had me, and we lived with her mom, so we were in Bryant, and my biological father was on a lot of different kinds of drugs, none of which were legal. And so I really never knew him, and he just wasn't, it was never a good thing. One time he showed up, as a baby, I had surgery, and he showed up high to the hospital to see me, to kind of give you a gauge of where he was. So it just was, there wasn't a bright future.
So the man that would become your dad, when you're about two, enters into your life, and tell us about that and how that changed your family.
Yeah, I mean, for starters, it changed our name. We all got a new last name, Sears, which I am proud of. So that changed, as well as our future. My entire life and our entire family dynamic shifted when I got a new father, a new dad. My dad was in the military, so, I mean, we had support. He worked hard to keep us afloat. He was a man of great integrity. The reason I came to college at all was because of his support for me, really. So I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be who I am if it wasn't for him joining our family.
Yeah. When you think about your involvement at Wolf Life and the youth ministry here, going to University of Washington, I assume none of that would have happened had you not come to ASU, which wouldn't have happened had you not had the dad that you had.
Not at all.
So what do you, in addition to what you already said, what do you respect about your dad, or what have you learned from him about being a good dad?
Yeah. So a lot of times I'll be out in public with my dad, and people will, you know, strangers at times will say, "Man, y'all look a lot alike." It's like, it's so funny because they don't know. I mean, there's no biology there that's making us look alike, but I have the same facial expressions. I stand the way he stands. I walk the way he walks, and I talk the way he talks a lot of times, and I didn't like to admit all that, but it's true. So there's a lot of things. The list just goes on and on of the ways I honor or the ways I respect my father. He works so incredibly hard. And he tells us what's important to him, and that's his family, and that he would do anything to serve and protect us. Even to this day, he still supports me. So his work ethic, he taught me how to respect women and how to honor my mother and how to treat people with common decency. So, I mean, I learned love from him. I learned almost all of who I am from him. So,
as you think about your biological father, who really has never been a part of your life, what do you think of when you think of him, or what do you hope for him, or what thoughts and feelings come to your mind regarding him?
Yeah, to be honest, for a long time in my growing up, I had very, I just questioned, was very upset when I thought about my biological father, because he didn't fulfill that role that he was supposed to. But right after I came to know the Lord, right after I was saved by Christ, I got to meet my biological father, a complete act of coincidence. And I got to tell him that I forgive him and that, you know, that I want the best for him. But I haven't seen him really since that moment because of his engagement with drugs and different things. So I hope the best for him. You know, I'm saddened at times when I think about the way it turned out and the way his life is. And I wish the best for him. And I hope that God is still working to provide that life in him that he provided in me.
So obviously, you know, you've been walking with the Lord for several years now. You became a Christian when you were a teenager, and you know, you're just incredibly devoted and committed to God, walking with the Lord every day. How has God been such a great father to you?
Yeah, so God's been a good father in so many ways. For starters, when I was 2 years old, when my name wasn't Sears, there's nothing that the two-year-old Devin did to deserve the name Sears. I mean, if anything, I just was annoying. You know? So there's nothing I did to earn that name, but it was given to me just by grace and because of love that my father had for me and my mother. So I think that is just so enlightening to how God has loved me, because there's nothing I deserved, nothing I did to deserve the love that Christ has, you know, poured out onto me. I didn't deserve to be saved. I don't deserve his spirit moving and working in me, but he provides it every day. Yeah. So I think that's the biggest way I've seen God just be a good father. Just, he always, if I ask for bread, that's what he gives me.
Wonderful. So on a little bit different subject, you guys are going to be heading to Seattle soon. God's been really good to you, by the way. You're now married to Diamond, and you're about to, you just graduated college. And you have a new dad in your life, Dean Lee and Reba are your new in-laws, and I know that's a wonderful situation, wonderful blessing. And you're about to go to University of Washington. So how are you feeling right now?
Well, in light of the three fathers now that I have, I'm pretty confident in going. I mean, it's easy to see how much God has provided for, you know, my life and this mission to Seattle. So it's hard not to be just confident in going.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Devin, thank you very much for sharing your story with us. We really appreciate it. Could you thank Devin, everybody? So God is, the Heavenly Father is everyone's progenitor. He's the source of life. But his greatest desire is to be that relational father to us as well. But we have to choose that. And it's so important that we choose that. And it's so important that we understand and relate to God as Father. And here's why. You know, Scripture talks about God, in, as I said earlier, in many different ways, or many different titles for God. Like for instance, God is Creator. And the fact that God is Father doesn't diminish the fact that He's Creator. He is also, of course, our Creator. But you can have a God who is Creator who has no real relationship with you, couldn't you? In fact, there are people called deists who believe exactly that, who believe that God created the world and then essentially just left. You know, give it a spin and then he's gone. So if you relate to God just as Creator, that's a very diminished relationship. Or think of God as King, as Lord, as Master. Again, if God is Father, He is absolutely still King and Lord and Master. But when you relate to God as King, then your relationship with Him is really primarily based on how well you submit, how well you obey. Kings don't abide disobedience. But a father, that's just very different, isn't it? Think about it this way. I guess the closest thing we have to a king is the president. Think about the president. I assume most of us in here have no relationship with the president, current or past. But imagine if you, for whatever reason, you got to spend the night in the White House. Mike, are you going to go up, you know, at 3 a.m. because you're thirsty and say, wake him up. Hey, Mr. President, could you get me something to drink? Who is the only person in the world that could do that? His kids. His wife probably couldn't even get away with that. Like, get it yourself. But the kids, yeah, they could get away with that. Because to them, he's not primarily president, he's dad. Right? He's their president. The kids of the president are still, he is still their president too, but not primarily. The primary relationship is father. If Marine One lands, his kids can run out, hey, welcome home, Dad. If Marine One lands and I run out toward the president, I'm going to get shot. That's the difference. See, that's the difference between king and dad. That's a big deal. Hebrews 4 talks about that. He says, let us boldly, with confidence, approach the throne room of God. So he's this king sitting on a throne. Who can approach the throne room? If we had a king, who could approach the throne of God confidently? The only person in the world that could do that would be his children. Or think about it this way. Think about the difference between a dad and a boss. Okay? Let's think about that. You and your boss, as long as you're providing a service for the boss, as long as you're producing, as long as you're showing up on time and working hard and doing what you're supposed to do, you and your boss are going to be fine. But the minute you stop producing, the minute you stop performing, the minute you stop coming to work on time, working hard, and doing things that the company needs you to do, guess what? That relationship is going to go downhill real quick. In fact, it could very easily and quickly end. So you begin to struggle as an employee, you and the boss, that relationship's going to go away. But think about it this way. If you are in a relationship as father and child, and the child is struggling, the child isn't performing, the child is in this bad place, the child is being disrespectful, the child is in trouble with the law, the child is, you know, is lonely and depressed or sad or whatever it may be, what happens to that relationship? When it's the boss, that relationship's just going to go away. But when it's your kid, what happens? If anything, the relationship gets more intense. When it's you and your kid, the relationship gets stronger. You're drawn toward them. If it's a boss, he's drawn away from you. He says, yeah, you need to go find something else to do. Have a good life. But if it's your kid and they're struggling, they're not producing, they're not performing, whatever it may be, the relationship gets closer. You're drawn to them. And that is exactly why it is so important that we understand God as Father. There's a fundamental difference, a hugely fundamental difference between God as a Father versus God as Lord, King, or even Savior. A lot of people would say the primary relationship or the primary thing that God is to us is Savior. And of course, that's hugely important. But why is God Savior? Why does He want to be Savior? He wants to be Savior so He can be your Father. Father is the primary way that God wants to interact with us and understand us and be in relationship with us. But we've still got that sin problem. So how does the Father get there? Because the Father, He wants to be your dad. He wants to be in the most intimate of relationships with you. But how does He get there? Because sin fractures that relationship. Sin tarnishes and mars our ability to be God's image bearers. We don't look like Him like we used to. And of course, you know how that gets solved. It's through the one and only Son. Listen to this in John 1, 11 through 13. It says, He came to that which was His own, but His own did not receive Him. Yet to all who did receive Him, remember I said you got to choose to be in a relationship with God. To all those who did receive Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. As you look at this text, I think it's fair to say that from this text, you could say that Jesus' entire mission, everything He came to accomplish, everything He came to be, everything He came to do, was primarily about making it so that you could be the Father's kid, the Father's child, that you could be adopted into His family. Before Jesus came, most people thought of God as distant and high and holy, which of course he was and is, wrathful king and judge. But Jesus calls Him Abba. He calls Him Dad. To Jesus, God was Father. And he taught us to relate to God as Father. He says, the Father and I are one. He says, I know the Father and the Father knows me. I came from the Father. I only do what the Father desires. I only say what he tells me to say. Remember when he taught us to pray. How does he start? Our Father, who art in heaven. There's only one time in the Gospels where Jesus is referring to God, where he's speaking to God, praying to God, that he doesn't call him Father. Do you know when that is? It's on the cross. On the cross, Jesus cries out to the Father, and he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because in that moment, on the cross, he wasn't a son anymore. He was a rebel. He was a sinner. He was an outcast. He was whatever you are, whatever I am. In that moment, the one and only Son switched places with all of us who are to be adopted. And in that moment, he wasn't a son anymore. He gave up his sonship so you could be sons and daughters. Now look at what Jesus says after the resurrection, after the work is complete. John 20, verse 17, he says, do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead and tell my brothers, instead to my brothers and tell them, this is beautiful, this is so important, I am ascending, what? To my Father and your Father. After the work is done, he says, now he's your Father too. To my God and to your God. On the cross, Jesus gives up his sonship so that you can have it. And when the job is done, he says, now he's Father to all of us. All of us who choose it. And that's the message today. Many of you, probably most of you, are in relationship with God, and he is your Father, and you know him as Father. For some of you, that may not be true. And what I'm here to tell you is that God is not just creator. He's not just king. He's not just Lord. He's not just judge. He is all of those things. But he primarily wants us to relate to him as Father. He has chosen to adopt us, and he desperately wants for you to be his kids. But you have to make the decision to do that. You have to accept that offer. So I want to tell you, no matter what your situation is with your father or your children here on earth, maybe you had or have a wonderful, loving dad. Maybe you have had a dad that you have struggled with, you've struggled to forgive, that frustrates and angers. Maybe you've had a dad who was absent. Maybe you have a dad who is no longer with us. Whatever your situation may be, what you do need to know is that no matter what your situation is in the Father area, you need to know that we all have the opportunity to have a Father who is the most perfect, the best Father that you could ever hope for. The one that we all dream of having, that dad, he can be yours, the Heavenly Father. He's already chosen for you to be his children. All you have to do is accept the offer and let him adopt you. Let's pray. Holy Lord and God, would you help us not only to know intellectually today that you are Father, but would you help us to experience it and feel it? Just like a dad who picks up his child and hugs him and says, I love you. Will you help us to feel that from you today? Lord, I know that for some, Father's Day is a difficult day, either because of deaths or because of strained and bad relationships. Lord, would you bring comfort and peace to those who are feeling hurt or sad or angry today because of a relationship with their dad or with their children that isn't what it ought to be? Will you comfort and give them peace today? And will you help them to feel your love as Heavenly Father? And even for those who have wonderful dads who are joyful and happy today to be with a great dad, Would you help them even to realize that no matter how great a dad we may have in the flesh, that the best one in the world is you. Thank you, Lord, for not only being creator, king, judge, master, thank you for being our Father. And we offer this as your children. In the name of the one and only, only begotten Son, Jesus, our Lord, and our brother. Amen. So if you have any need of any kind this morning, whatever your father situation may be regarding God, if you have another need that you want to just share, a prayer or anything like that, I know we're scheduled to have a baptism today right after the song. So if that is something that you would like, Jimmy is going to already be suited up and ready. So whatever your need may be, while we sing this song, we invite you to come and share.
I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. I've seen many searching for answers far and wide, but I know we're all searching for answers. Only you provide, 'cause you know just what we need before we say a word. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. Is perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. To us, you are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. To call me deeper still into love, love, love. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. Perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. To us, to us.
Please be seated.
You do, and I know that you're ready to make him the Lord of your life. And so I'm very happy to baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit for the forgiveness of your sins, and that you may receive the gift of God's Holy Spirit.
Matt, he is now child of the Father. We're so thankful that you all been here today. We're going to pass communication cards, right, guys? So let's pass those real quick. And we just want to say happy Father's Day again to all the dads. God bless you. Go in peace. We're going to have one more song, Rob. Sing us out. So here we go.